Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to We're Drunk and We Know Things, Season 2.
Season 2, who'd have thought it? We got picked up again by the network.
Unlike Game of Thrones, whose seasons get shorter, our first season was about 2.5 years long.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So this one probably is going to be a bit shorter,
so they've had the same amount of wait for something good.
True. we've only had to wait a month for this.
No, yeah, well,
maybe
great.
Two, I suppose.
I was suggesting that all the ones we went on before were terrible.
So we took the past 2 months and thought long and hard about what we want the podcast to be, what we want to do, what we don't want to do.
But we couldn't do any of the stuff we thought of, so we're just going to do the same thing again.
Yeah, pretty much. We have made a couple of small changes.
Mm.
The release schedule is now fortnightly.
Yes, that's every 2 weeks for those of you who are thick.
So you'll be getting this episode, the one you're listening to right now, and then you only have to wait 2 weeks for the next episode, but it also means you don't have to power disk through 2 whole hours of us.
That's true.
Every month, because I know that you feel guilty. Time. So you get 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
We're also losing the alphabet thing.
Yeah.
It was cute, but honestly...
About M, it started to get a little bit irritating.
And by the time we got to Q and X, and
we did the quest, for God's sake. I mean, you can't say we didn't try to stick with it.
To be fair, we've also decided that we are no longer doing any kind of poll.
Yes, because you picked the quest. Own dickheads.
And the
we
most
love our
important...
fans, we just don't trust them.
The most important change is that the tech element of the podcast is now going to be every month much more closely related to the movie that we have discussed.
And it'll be more of a deep dive into a thematic linked subject as opposed to just purely... So basically what we're saying is you won't get another episode about keyboards. It'll be a little bit more relevant to...
Unless we can
about.
Find... I mean, I suppose if we did...
We could do war games.
Well, we could do that documentary about typewriters.
We could.
As the movie.
You know how we ditched the polls so I don't have to watch a movie that I'm not that into 100 times.
You've seen the movie about typewriters.
I wrote it. Weirdly, I wrote it on my phone.
So, yeah, the tech will be related more to the movie month to month. Now, this does mean that you're going to have to bear with us because some of those links are going to get mighty tenuous.
Sure.
But
one of the things we suggested was we did Unforgiven, and the tech segment would be the Old West. So not tech
horses.
At all. Horses. Not tech at all. Just, that could be a history one, that one.
Wagons. Their technology.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, leaf springs and...
Yeah, like revolvers. I don't really want to do an episode about the mechanics of guns, so...
Well, you could do an episode about...
And my drunk, shouty liberal head on it would be a nightmare.
Mechanics of... No, it's pretty much guns and
penicillin?
Horses,
penicillin? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Dying from small injuries that get infected? I don't... Yeah.
So the lack of alphabetical... the lack of constraint in terms of which movie we're going to select means that we can actually be incredibly self-indulgent and pick movies that we want to talk about, which in theory should make for a better podcast for you, dear listener.
So what we've done is we found a way to make the most self-indulgent medium possible even more self-indulgent.
Yep. Fair. We've taken it back up to 11.
I'm not ashamed. Whatever.
And as a result, the first movie of this new season...
Mm.
Is a firm favourite of both of ours.
I'm waiting for you to tell me. I don't know what it is yet.
This month on We're Drunk and We Know Things, we're talking Terminator 2.
That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
So yes, it's the first so yes of the new season. So yes, we're talking about Terminator 2. Sorry, I just love you can always tell where our edit points are because it always starts with right or so yes or
anyway.
Yeah. Yes. So yes. Terminator 2. Probably top 5 movies for me.
All right.
Yeah. I was saying to you earlier, I think it's probably as close to a perfect film as the, a perfect action film, certainly, that there is. It is. I mean, it's just transcendent. There's nothing better. I've watched it so many times this week, and I every single time has been, this is amazing, this is amazing. There's always a certain amount of fatigue where when we watch, I watch movies so much for the podcast just to like really embed it in my brain, and then I don't watch it again for 3 months afterwards. I could go home tonight and watch this. It's so good. It's so good. Plot summary.
Well,
it's only 2 hours and 50 minutes long. Let's just...
When was it made?
1991. It was made in 1991. It was made by James Cameron, written by him and William Wisher. They wrote it after The Abyss. He put it off making it until after The Abyss because the technology didn't exist to do T-1000. So we kind of had to wait until he and ILM had invented the technology, as is always the way with him, same as Avatar. Until I've invented the technology, I can't make this film I want to, but then he does invent it, because he is, let's be real, a genius. So do you want to do a quick plot summary? Or do we assume that people know what Terminator 2 is
okay,
about?
Okay, I can do a very quick plot summary.
Right.
So we are 10 and a bit years after the end of the original Terminator movie.
I'll do background music.
That's not going to get distracting at all. So 10 and a bit years later.
Oh, you're using a podcast voice as well now.
And Sarah Connor has had a baby.
She has. And that baby is now a boy.
Has managed to basically lose that baby to social services.
And lose her
being
mind.
A complete nutball.
And that is
because
she knows...
Nobody else believes that the world is going to end on Judgment Day.
That is so amazing, by the way, in this movie, is that she is, in parts of this film, she is the villain. She is the villain. And she is nuts. She is a psycho.
A significant quantity of exposition up front.
Sure.
Narrated by Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Well, ostensibly, we get an amazing opening sequence where we get to see what the world looks like under the machines.
Yeah, indeed.
A battle sequence, and they're driving strangely 80s pickup trucks, even though it's meant to be 2020-something.
Yeah.
And the bad AI Skynet.
The bad AI
that we will
Skynet.
Talk about in some detail.
Sure.
Possibly in 2 weeks' time. Sends another Terminator back, because the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
And just like before, the Resistance sent back a warrior to protect
The Resistance are able to send back somebody else, but this time they send back Arnie.
Yes. Well, they send back a Model 101 T-800 Terminator.
Yeah. comedy in shoes.
Yeah, pretty much. Like when they try to make him smile. Arguably my favourite piece.
So, the Arnie Terminator T-1000 getting a race to see who can reach John Connor, who's a 10-year-old
ostensibly 10 years old. Yeah, he's got an attitude.
And
that bit where he calls for help when the Terminator grabs him, those two guys come over to help him, and then he totally dicks them over and tells them to fuck off. It's like, oh, John Connor is definitely a 10-year-old boy. Like, he's definitely a kid. Like, it's fantastic character development. The changes in him and Linda Hamilton stuff from beginning to the end of the film are just...
So, yeah, they manage to both find him at exactly the same time, which is convenient for the plot.
In a mall,
if one or the other had found him sooner, then it wouldn't have been a film.
No, it wouldn't have been a film, no. It wouldn't have been a film.
And we get lots of fisticuffs between two Terminators. They then realise that they have to go and break out Sarah Connor, because the odds are very good that the T-1000 is probably going to try and
kill her
terminate
and take her, place.
And take her place. The T-1000, of course, in this case, being a gelatinous blob of...
Mimemic polyalloy.
Easy for you to say.
No.
Which means that he can assume any form, provided the form is similar in mass.
Yes, indeed. No moving parts, it doesn't work like that. You can't become a cigarette packet. Although I was thinking, could he become like 100 individual cigarette packets?
In theory, yes.
And then he could like smush back
together.
Or like
a crate of cigarettes.
Yeah, he could do that.
Or just one really big cigarette.
Yeah. One really big cigarette, sorry. Yes, amazing. Incredible.
Right, flash forward, and they rescue Sarah. They then run south.
Go to Mexico to tool up, essentially, to get a load of guns.
Sarah has this thing. The reason that she's been locked up was because she was trying to blow up a computer company.
Yes.
Because she is trying to prevent Judgment Day.
Cyberdyne Systems.
And she then realises that with Arnie's Terminator, she has access to
all
of the history.
Files.
He has detailed files on how Skynet rises to power, and that she can potentially find that single point
in time
where she can kill Miles Dyson, who's the guy who may or may not have created all of the Terminators.
Played by the amazing Joe Morton.
He has good vein pulsing action.
Just looks sweaty and scared.
Yeah,
which is
sweaty and scared the entire way
through
that.
Which is a quote I'll come back to later. Ooh. That's how you do this, you tease the audience.
She then runs off to go and pop
kill
a cap
Dyson.
In his ass.
Yeah.
Fails to actually do that because she's not a killer, even though she probably killed quite a few
people. She winged
him
by accident trying to shoot him in the back as he ran away, but she's not a killer anyway.
Not when she's looking him in the eyes.
No,
mate.
Exactly. Yes, true. And then, like, his kid is there, and, you know, his kid, like, jumps in the way and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very, very, very well-staged piece.
Arnie and John show up just in time to, well, do nothing, because she was basically a wreck on the floor.
But he's just like, no, Mom, don't do it. And he's like, show him. And then Arnie cuts the skin off his arm.
So, Arnie's Terminator then educates Dyson about what is about to happen.
He lays it all down for him.
Dyson is completely and totally shocked and believes him instantly, despite no proof apart from, I suppose, the arm bit.
Cut the thing off, and it's the arm that's in the lab.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, as proof goes, what do you want? Jeez.
I don't know, at least a second corroborating opinion.
Another arm. I don't believe you. Hang on, rip. There you go, two arms. You believe me now?
No, you know what we want to see.
Do Terminators have dicks? Because it's not a dick on the skeleton.
Didn't take very long. I don't think they would. I mean, why would they?
Well, if they're meant to be infiltration units. Infiltrating using their units.
That's the gigolo line of Terminators. Or maybe they're like Crichton from Red Dwarf. They've just got a series of attachments.
Sure, like a whisk attachment and stuff. Yeah, amazing. A Hoover. Yeah. So you save Miles Dyson. Then they go to Cyberdyne to blow up Cyberdyne, to destroy everything.
Destroy
to
all
stop
the work
judgment,
and what have you.
There is that incredible scene with the minigun.
You get the incredible scene with the minigun. You get the SWAT team being called to Cyberdyne.
He kneecaps all of them.
Yeah, Dyson gets killed.
Oh, sacrifices himself at the end, doesn't he?
Well, he's dead. He's been shot several times. He's not coming out of that.
So good.
And he basically allows them to get away, blows up the lab. T-1000, of course, has homed straight in on this.
Chases him in a helicopter and flies out under the underpass.
We then get chased in a helicopter, because this is the thing about movies made in the 90s.
Mm.
A lot of this stuff, people will talk at length, and you will talk at length, about the CGI in T2.
Yeah.
More amazing than the CGI in T2 is the physical stunt work.
I agree with you.
Which includes the last breed of mad Vietnam helicopter pilots working in movies.
So when they did that,
you wouldn't be able to do that.
I know we're not doing production right now, but since we're already talking about it, the insurance company were like no, and the studio were like no. So James Cameron was like yeah. So he got a camera, set one up across one side of the street, walked across the street, the highway, set up the other camera, told everyone to bugger off. And helicopter pilot was like, yeah, I could do that. So James Cameron just ran two cameras himself and cleared the area, and the guy flew the helicopter under the bridge and was like, there you go, got it.
So, I mean, to be fair, even then you couldn't do that. Couldn't do that
now. No. Well, they just CGI it, wouldn't they?
No, they just CGI it, so it wouldn't count.
It was like in Die Hard 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Mission Impossible. Eh.
Mm. I like Mission Impossible 1. It's my favourite one.
They then end up in an amazing chase that starts with a helicopter and a SWAT van and ends up with
truck. The chicken truck, and he's in the liquid
nitrogen. A tanker
nitrogen
of liquid nitrogen. Again, conveniently plotted.
So when they asked him about that liquid nitrogen truck, and they said, how did you get the effect of blowing up that massive tanker full of liquid nitrogen? What did you use? And he said, liquid nitrogen.
A tanker full of liquid nitrogen.
We just ripped apart a thing full of liquid nitrogen.
He set up a camera here, there, told everybody else to bugger off.
That's what he did. That is what he did,
But we then get the amazing hot and cold battle
The true
ending,
song of ice and fire.
Yeah. Oh, what?
It's a joke I made to Carolina the other day, and I was like, I have to use that.
And you get classic Terminator goodness, the inexorability of
that
vista,
baby.
It runs for half an hour, that entire final scene.
Think about how many set pieces are in this movie, right? Think about how many big set pieces are in this movie. It's so much happens, it doesn't drag for a second, it doesn't feel overly long. Like
Even the slow points, you actually are welcoming because you need to take a breath.
There's a bit, you know, when they're in Mexico and they're just fucking about and he's like teaching him how to high five, and when he's teaching him how to, no, you can't speak like that. Chill out, dickwad, all that kind of stuff. All those bits, there's one point where they're high-fiving and fucking about, and it just cuts for some reason to more narration by Sarah Connor, because they're like, oh, this would drag otherwise. It's still amazing. I mean, that's the emotional core of the film, those bits, but in my mind.
Lots of final shooting. Battle, lots of shooting, lots of...
mimicking Sarah Connor.
Punching of Arnie.
He destroys Arnie twice.
Twice?
So he rips his arm off, and you think he's out, but then he gets back up again, and then he stabs him through the chest and takes out the power core, and then you think he's out, but then he...
And then he gets back up again.
Goes to his other secondary power unit.
He reroutes the plasma conduits.
He does. He reverses the deflector dish. Nope,
and
that's Voyager.
In a moment that is, to be honest, you are at this point on the edge of your seat, Sarah Connor unloads entire shotgun into him, and just when he's about to go, she's out of cartridges.
And he does that incredible finger wag.
And then Arnie shows up at the last minute,
takes
shoots
him
in the chest with a grenade launcher.
The last grenade that he gets out the bed
and
of the truck.
As luck would have it, he falls backwards, not forwards.
Yes. Well, I mean, if that's the bit you're going to pick a hole in this film.
I'm just saying.
I just think it's realistic about how that one giant killer robot killed the other giant killer robot.
So he falls into the steel, melts.
Yes.
What's all those different screaming faces? For no reason?
That screams James Cameron.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that
But don't you think it's
why.
Amazing? Because that's clearly a person thrashing around in some kind of liquid that they've lit in that kind of way. That's amazing.
It's not steel.
No, clearly not steel, but it's amazing. Sorry.
And then Arnie realizes that he too will have to
self-terminate.
Well, he can't self-terminate. He has to be lowered into the steel by Sarah.
No, I got problems with that, but yeah.
He is the last...
It has to end here.
The last bit.
And he knows now why we cry.
Yeah. Despite the fact...
And then I start crying.
I have one tiny problem with that, which is that he doesn't bother to go off and get his arm.
Oh, sure, there's still the arm.
Which is still... And that's how this all started, right?
It's just another arm.
Because the only bit that was left was an arm.
Yeah. Well, no.
And a chip.
The chip is where they make the advances from. Still, I think the arm... is just because they clearly forgot about it in the first film, and then also it serves to prove when he strips the metal off the flesh off his arm. But
they're not doing that. Not very good housekeeping.
No, not very good housekeeping.
You know, he could have just popped down.
Well, they could have gone and got it afterwards. You don't know. You just didn't show it.
Well, I mean, like, oh shit! You know what, we forgot.
Yeah, that would be really bad. I once made a film where there was a scene where in the middle of the film where the hero gets captured and he wears a cowboy hat all the way through it. And he gets captured and they knock his hat off when they punch him in the first scene, and then he gets saved and they take him out and we forgot to bring his hat. So in the next scene he's got his hat again, even though he left it in the last place, so it's a continuity error. So we just shot a scene where I came back into that room with a gun and got his hat and came back out again. That's how you do that.
Or you just, you know, write it up in more exposition.
This is why I've got a podcast about films and don't make films.
And then depending on which version you're watching, you basically get either my preferred ending, which is we're not sure where we're going, the future is now unwritten, it's an open road, along with a fairly laboured road metaphor.
Sure, yeah.
Or...
James Cameron's not subtle, is he?
You get the happy ending where James Cameron discovered that he could apply prosthetics and makeup to people and make them look old.
Well, I mean, even he's never used that. That's never been on a cut he's assembled. But they put it on the special extended version just to sell more DVDs, basically.
And it turns out that John Connor becomes a senator.
Yeah, that's so lame.
Easy money.
It's 2029, because that's meant to be the same date as the beginning opening battle scene.
Yes.
And they sat in the park, which is a recurring motif, all that kind of business. But the buildings are, like, so ridiculously futuristic looking. It's so dumb. I love it.
Right, so, and that is the plot of Terminator 2, which you didn't need, because you've clearly seen it.
So, thanks for rejoining us after pressing the forward 15 seconds button on your iPhone loads
swipe
to get to
skip,
through to here.
Swipe to skip.
Swipe to skip. So, we should probably just end there. That's one of the big changes we forgot to mention, is we're just going to reiterate the plot and then do one.
Yeah. So, anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks when we do a thrifty deep dive into some of the technology.
Yeah. Robots.
No, go on. We need to talk.
Let's talk about the production.
Let's.
So, it was made in 91, and it cost $102 million to make, which was 15 times the budget of Terminator 1.
Yeah.
And about four times the budget of every other movie that had been made up to that point. So
this
it wasn't like...
At one point, this was the highest budget
ever. Yeah, so it
was.
When it was made, it was. Yeah, and it lasted for a little while, actually. So it wasn't like, oh, it's 10 million more than the last film. It was like double the amount. Apparently, if you adjust for inflation, Cleopatra cost $269 million to make.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Insane. But anyway.
If you index link it. And
yeah, indeed. Yeah. But anyway, so for the purposes of this podcast, it was the highest costing film ever. And it made 523 million quid. Which, 27 years ago, is a lot.
Yes.
Well, it's a lot now. Just not in comparison to,
I wouldn't,
Fast
kick,
and Furious
I wouldn't
or
kick it out of bed.
No, indeed. Indeed. So even before it was released, it had actually basically made its budget back. Because they sold worldwide rights for $65 million, video rights for $10 million, and television rights for another $10 million. So it'd already made $85 million before it even come out of the cinema. Plus all your merchandising, plus your video games,
merchandising,
all your video games, all that kind of stuff.
And I'm guessing it had a storming opening weekend.
Yeah. So it had like the biggest ever opening weekend. It was the first movie to ever make $300 million internationally. It's just fucking bananas. Basically, it just broke every single record they could get their hands on. Essentially. Before they'd shot anything, James Cameron got Stan Winston to shoot a teaser trailer for $150,000, which is endoskeletons going into like a weird press where pink goo is injected in, and then when a press opens, it's Arnie's, and it's loads of Arnie's on a construction line.
Nice.
So that was before they'd even started shooting the film. They did that as like a teaser
also,
trailer.
Also, it's before Jamie Oliver did pink goo. Terminator 2 was doing it first.
It's true. It's
They're actually Arnie nuggets.
You think Arnie's made out of the same protein slurry as chicken nuggets?
Yeah.
Well, that means he would be delicious.
He's the McTerminator.
He'd be under-seasoned, but he'd be delicious with some of that sweet and sour sauce.
Szechuan sauce.
Don't talk about Szechuan sauce.
91.
Oh, it would have. Well, when did Mulan come out? They released it.
Around then.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, so originally the T-1000 was going to take the form of Kyle Reese. So Michael Biehn was going to come back.
Right, yes.
And they decided between him coming back, Linda Hamilton coming back, Arnold Schwarzenegger coming back, it was all a bit on the nose. So it was talked about like giving him a cameo in that he could come back and like T-1000 could take his form and blah, 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 blah. But it just, that feels a bit hackneyed, basically. So they were like, nah, not doing that.
I think, to be honest, it probably would have worked.
I just think it would have been a hat on a hat. He already impersonates everyone else in the film, except for Arnie. And there was big talk, there was a lot of talk as well about the T-800, there being a good and the bad T-800. So there being two Terminators still, but being Arnie being the good one sent back by the Resistance. And then they were like,
bad Arnie.
That's insanely hard to shoot, even with all the technological breakthroughs
also,
they have for this.
It requires considerably more emotional range than perhaps Arnie has.
Sure, yeah, indeed. I think his performance in this, he should have got nominated for a Best Supporting Actor. He is amazing.
Okay.
As soon as they switch that chip, what, an hour in, his personality, like, emerges to such a degree that I really do think he's got really good character development. I think he does a really, really good job. I mean, that's why these films are so good, right? Because, like, they found the perfect person to play this remorseless killing machine who then learns a bit of charisma from a 13-year-old. That sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger to me. Ten. So let's talk about casting. Linda Hamilton was in it again.
Yes.
She trained with an Israeli commando. Whose name is Uzi, because of course he was. So that's why she's a badass and like lost loads of weight and had this big physical
she's
transformation.
Properly ripped.
Yeah. It's like she's like CrossFit badass before CrossFit was badass, basically. Yeah, you know, it's she is really ripped. I mean, they introduce her doing pull-ups on the bed that she's flipped onto its side. It's so good. Oh, that's the other bit that's added in on the extended sequence is the Kyle Reese dream scene.
Yes.
So
I
him being referenced as T-1000. Would make sense with the dream scene in, but out of nowhere it might be a bit weird.
I don't know. That's the reason I reckon it would work, is it would require a degree of depth that perhaps it doesn't quite possess, right. But it would... Can you imagine? I mean, we talked about Linda Hamilton's character being a complete psycho.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how fucked up she would be if the love of her
she
life
comes
back?
She thinks it's a hallucination
back.
The whole way through, and it's actually the T-1000 fucking with her as Michael Biehn. Yeah, so good. She got permanent hearing loss. So every time we do one of these movies, somebody gets deafened because they forget to put their earplugs in. So Bruce Willis in Die Hard and Linda Hamilton. She went to the can and forgot to take her earplugs out. And then, you know, the scene where the firing, when they're escaping from the hospital, the firing the gun, she forgot to put her earplugs back in and she's permanently deaf in her right ear. James Cameron's like, oh no, we used all the shots of her like deafening herself and being in pain because it's like a better performance. Because James Cameron is a psychopath. James Cameron is a psychopath in the way that like, Michael Schumacher is a psychopath. Like, well, these a CEO is a psychopath. Like, that's why he's James Cameron, because he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He just, like, nearly killed everyone in the Abyss. He nearly killed everyone during Titanic. You know, it just, yeah. The fireball in the opening sequence, right? They shot it at 300 frames a second to get super, super slow-mo, but kept doing it so many times that they kept setting fire to the building they were in. So, like, they called out the fire brigade, like, 6-7 times, and the studio were like, you've got to stop doing this. They're going to fine us. And he was like, I don't care. We'll pay the fine. Because he's a nutcase. So, anyway, Joe Morton was cast as Miles Davis, I've got written down in my notes.
That would have been interesting.
So weird. Jazz musician turned software developer. Miles Dyson, after Denzel Washington turned it down. Because he said, I read the script and I was just sweaty and scared all the time and I didn't think it would be fun.
Which is a fair point.
I mean, it's not a great role for an actor. I think it's really good, and Joe Morton does an incredible job, but it's not like a rangy part, is it? It's not. But anyway, we'll have to. Shut up, Denzel Washington. You know what we're talking about. Robert Patrick was cast because...
I mean, he has, of course, famously done incredibly badly off the back of that decision.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Yeah, his career
Denzel
really
who?
Suffered. Joe Morton went on to be in Eureka, and Denzel Washington went on to...
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did, yeah. I love Joe Morton. I'm not speaking ill of him. I love him. Robert Patrick was cast after James Cameron saw him in Die Hard 2. Do you remember in Die Hard 2 when they're on the escalator?
Yeah.
What do you think I look like?
A
city duck. Yeah, that's so good. And then also like his physicality. So he like his performance is very bird-like, lizard-like, like the cocking of the head and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff of like the running and he's not breathing through his mouth.
Yeah.
Never blinks. The scene where he goes through John's bedroom, they want him to like tear it apart. And he said, no, I'm like meant to be this like all-seeing eye thing, right? So that was his thing of walking around and touching everything, like he's scanning it and things like that.
It's very creepy when you realise what he's doing. It's like actually the eyes in the front of his head probably aren't how he sees.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's just like he's all lens. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird.
The one thing I do like, just coming back to that, is the fact that the T-1000, considering it can be any form ever, keeps coming back to that form.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It becomes like the base default.
Well, because it's... the other thing, that's a thematic choice by James Cameron, that there used to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
So if you could just be everyone all the time, you can't, like, build up a relationship with that character if it's not the same guy over and over again. But, like, all the Foley work and stuff, which we'll come back to the Foley work later, but, like, all the stuff of, like, him changing off frame, the footsteps changing, you know, and things like that, like, it's all done so well. Like, the T-1000 is done so, so, so perfectly. And that all that technology is off the back of the Abyss. Seen the Abyss?
Yes.
So you know the big, weird, tentacle space worm thing. So once they'd done that, then that they built off the back of that so they could do T-1000. Eddie Furlong. Oh, sorry. No, just one last thing on Robert Patrick. They had to digitally remove his willy. So when he's naked, apparently he's got such a big hog that they just couldn't shoot around it, as it were. So they just had to spend a load of money to digitally remove his penis. Because Robert Patrick is so well hung.
I think we've answered that question then.
I listened to a podcast the other day when they were talking.
No, and
T-1000, yes. Well, no, they took it off, so no, yeah.
Although the T-1000 presumably could just extrude anything.
If he wanted to, he could be as well hung. He'd be getting shorter and shorter and shorter with a bigger and bigger penis. So I listened to an interview the other day with Robert Patrick about this, and he said, I'm just saying that they never had to do that with Arnie, so muscles aren't everything. Saying Arnie's watching, he's got a small dick. He's done a lot of steroids.
I was going to say, a bit of steroid use in his early life.
Yeah, a little bit.
Probably Arnie's
little Eddie Furlong.
Shrunken.
Little Eddie Furlong, talking a little things. Edward Furlong had no acting experience of any variety before, and hasn't had since. No, he was in The Crow 2 or something. I think it was The Crow 3. But anyway, when he was asked, like, what experience have you got, he said, I've been in home movies at my dad's shop. Creepy. But he was chosen from, like, hundreds and hundreds of people, or kids, I should say. But his voice broke and he was going through puberty. Oh, good, the side is working. He's going through puberty and his voice broke halfway through filming. So they had to ADR all of his dialogue after everything was done in his new voice, because when he started, it's just totally different. So if you watch throughout the film, he does kind of change physically quite a lot, because he just goes through like a growth spurt and stuff like that. And like, yeah.
Fortunately, to be honest, all you ever remember of that character is hair.
Yeah.
It could literally be any other.
It's like
kid
the emo
there.
Kids.
Swap the
it's the goth kids in
through.
South Park, isn't it?
They
it's
keep
that.
The hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a toot. He's got a rude toot. Leslie Hamilton Gearan is Linda Hamilton's twin sister.
Right.
And she's a bit of a stunt woman, which is handy when you have a film, when you have a robot who can mimic other people. So you know that scene where they cut open the top of Arnie's head and they take the chip out?
Yes.
So that's essentially like what they call the mirror exercise. Have you ever heard of that? The improvisational acting thing where two people stand on either side of like a window frame and try and mimic each other. So that's a body double with a model of Arnie's head with a camera behind it where they're pulling the chip out, and in a window frame that looks like a mirror frame, and Arnie and Linda Hamilton doing the acting. And sorry, not the body double, it's the twin on this side doing the exact same movements. And then the same thing later in the movie when T-1000 mimics Sarah Connor. She's just further away from the camera because she didn't get
so they're not compositing in two Linda Hamiltons.
No, it's just another
twin. It's very convenient.
The same as the guard who gets eye spiked in the hospital.
Yes.
He's famously a twin. He was in Erie, Indiana, if you ever remember watching that back in the day.
I do.
The Joe Dante produced TV series. They're twins as well because it's just easier.
I like the fact that, you know, he's going to wait to invent a new form of computer graphics animation so that he can make the robot. But when it comes down to it, it's like, no, I'm just going to hire twins.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's easier, isn't it? I mean,
that's right, I promise, I'll only deafen one of them.
So Arnie got 15 million quid, 11 million of which was a Gulfstream 3 private jet. They only made 100 of these jets. And it's now, I didn't, but my wife, who loves airplanes, looked it up the other day when I was talking to her about this, and they're now worth like $55-60 million, because they're such a rare collector's piece. Imagine being a collector of Gulfstreams. But yeah, he got paid.
Imagine the size of the cabinet you need.
It's not like Panini stickers, is it? So because of the amount he was paid, and he says 700 words of dialogue. That means he was paid $21,429 per word. So Hasta La Vista, Baby cost him $85,716.
Worth it.
Just off the top of my head, just did the math. That's not written down.
Worth it.
Absolutely worth it. But yeah, so $21,000 a word. And in Spanish, he doesn't say Hasta La Vista, Baby, because that's already Spanish. So he says, Sayonara, Baby. I assume he doesn't say it with that inflection.
No, I think he does.
I want to give Arnold Schwarzenegger line readings for the rest of my life. Yes, he says sayonara, baby, in Spain. It's just not the same.
I think it's also worth noting that an awful lot of the quotes that people associate with the Terminator franchise come from this film.
Yep.
Hasta la vista, baby. Yep. Come with me if you want to live.
No, Reese says that in Number One. It's a callback to Number One.
But everybody assumes Arnie says it.
Yeah, but he's saying it to Linda Hamilton to play on her emotional connection to Reese. But yes, I agree.
Yeah, but nobody ever says it in the voice of Reese from the first film.
Indeed.
Everybody always says, come with me if you want to leave.
Yeah, no, this is very true. This is very true. Chill out, Dickwad.
Is not a quote that I associate with the
Definitely
franchise.
Is me. It's one of my favourites. It's one of my favourites. And why do you cry?
I don't know why you cry.
Trust me. That's another good one. Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying my Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. I got a real something special for you later.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So talking of big quotes, I'll be back. Obviously, quite a famous one.
Which is from the first movie.
But just as an interesting thing, he didn't want to say I'll be back. He wanted to say I will be back. Because he can't, if you listen, he can't say I'll.
He can't do contractions.
He can't get his lips around it. I know what I said. He can't get his lips around the meat of the word. And second season, same old dick jokes.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he can't say oil. That's why he says oil, be back. And then it became his catchphrase, that famous thing that he can't say.
So good. God, do the line. No.
Why couldn't my line be go fuck yourself?
Fuck you, dickwad.
Let's have a little quick chat about the old visual effects.
Okay.
The old VFX. And in this case, it is the old VFX, because it's 27 years old.
Yeah.
This film is 27 years old.
And unlike other films
that we won't mention.
Well, no, mostly because I can't really think of any off the top of my head.
Sure, okay.
Maybe Lawnmower Man. But unlike other films that were around...
You'll ruin next month's episode.
Oh, God.
We're not doing Lawnmower Man.
But, you know, the SFX, there was a large number of directors when CGI first became a thing, and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing, and they massively used it for everything.
This is the advent of proper blockbuster CGI use of CGI, and not overbearing use of CGI, because exactly like you were about to say, I think, I don't want to preempt you, is that everyone went, I'm so excited! And
I'm going to use it everywhere, and then those films, you watch them 20 years later, oh, this is quite dead, it's quite bad.
So bad.
However...
Yeah, with this, he does it. Yeah,
T2, it's very... effective, but it's also very restrained.
Yeah.
And as I said, most of the amazing stunt work.
Yeah. And there's a lot of practical stuff.
Physical,
there's a lot of puppets
stunts.
And a lot of puppets and a lot of stuff. The T-1000 where he gets shot and his head like explodes open and all that kind of stuff. That's all practical stuff that they composited in that Stan Winston had built, or his studio had built at least. I think for James Cameron to be like a light touch of CGI is not something you would think of with him anymore, given Avatar and all that kind of business. But I think it's really deftly done. The budget was £5 million for CGI.
How much did they spend?
They spent five million. And there was 35 people working on it for a total amount of 25 years of total work.
Yep.
So they did like just under a year of work each. And because of that, how much screen time do you think CGI gets?
It is at most 10 minutes.
It's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
25 years of work in total for 5 minutes. And that's what we were literally just saying. 5 minutes of screen time. Because it's things like a shot of him pouring himself through the helicopter windscreen. So good. Like all those little bits and pieces. So, so, so good.
There's always the moment in the last fight where Arnie slams him against the wall face first.
Yeah.
And he just literally morphs 180.
They're so good. But and like when he morphs through the bars, he hits him with the rebar and it squishes into him and he just kind of pulls it back out of himself and then stabs him with it. You know, it's so inventive. And then I've got a couple of other little tiny bits and pieces. which are the bar.
I mean, we know that you've got tiny bits and pieces. You don't have to feel self-conscious about it.
Oh, I guess nothing has changed. The bar that he goes into at the beginning is where Rodney King got pulled over and beaten.
Oh,
like a week before.
Oh.
Yeah. So when news crews were still reporting from the place a week later, you can like see the two crew like setting up shots in the background and stuff. So James Cameron actually says that he thinks that contributed to the success of the film, because if you try and think how many movies of that period have a uniformed police officer as the bad guy, and this came out in the wake of all that like police corruption and racism trials of Rodney King and everything in the 90s.
Yeah.
So like culturally, America was already in a place of distrust of the cops. So it's interesting little reading.
Okay.
Yeah, from the man himself, yeah. And there's one last thing I want to talk about, which is the noises that the T2 makes when he gets shot.
What, the kind of squelchy or screamy noises?
That is a man emptying an entire can of dog food onto a microphone.
It works.
It works. When it works, and it definitely works.
I mean, the trouble is, it's not like there was a handy stock library for shooting...
No, of course.
Was it mnemonic something
mnemonic
alloy?
Poly alloy, yeah.
Because that's also not a thing.
All alloys are poly, because an alloy is a mixture of two or more things.
No, it's a polyalloy. So it's more than one alloy.
Okay.
And it's memory foam. He's made out of memory foam.
And so the other sound design
this
is all
like... This section of the podcast, by the way, is sponsored by Casper Mattresses.
Oh, I thought we got Lisa. Oh, that's embarrassing. We got both. So,
The sound design
is meant to be like hyper-reality, so a lot of the scenes... they didn't record any sounds, and they recorded everything with Foley and music, and then played music over the top. So, like, her escape, when she's running around on her own inside the corridors, everything is Foley. And then they play music over the top. And things like his leather jacket and the buckles on it, that's all Foley. So the creaking of the leather and stuff is recorded sound after the fact to make it more pronounced.
Okay.
And the guns, essentially, are all one-up. So handguns are like 50mm sniper rifles. Is the sound. His shotgun is two Civil War cannons being fired at the same time to make it sound so much bigger.
That does explain one very important slight snafu with the sound design.
Right.
The pistol that he's using, which I assume is a Beretta 9mm.
Yes.
Because that's what would have been standard issue.
Yeah.
It sounds suppressed. So when he's chasing him and he shoots into the lift door.
Yeah.
If you listen, that is a suppressed... handgun.
Suppressed handgun. Okay.
It might be a suppressed rifle, but it's definitely not a Beretta 9mm.
No, absolutely not. No. So
but
yeah, that's.
I'm gonna let that one go.
That's my. Yeah. Sure. Oh, I'll let James know.
I'll let James have that one.
Yeah, I'll let him know. I'm sure he'll be happy. He was worried. He said to me the other day, "I hope he doesn't bring up about that silenced pistol. I'm gonna look like a right dickhead."
Well,
they're gonna take
James,
away
we,
my
we,
biggest box office of all
we
time.
We do exist to catch you on this kind of stuff.
True. He seems like he's.
Wait until
like,
we do Titanic.
He's like become nicer over the years. Because he's famously a complete bastard, but he seems like he might have been a bit nicer these days.
Well, I think maybe it's because he has to spend less time working with actual actors.
Well, you know, he left his wife after this to go and live with Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
And that's why she's not in Terminator 3
or
anything
else. Now
that
I know that Linda Hamilton has a twin, was it just Linda Hamilton?
I don't know.
Or was he going for the old Cameron Toofer?
She had a lot of... after T2, she got so famous that she really like had some real bad addiction problems and that kind of stuff that ruined her career. And like she's coming back for Dark Fate, you know, the new one?
Yep.
Which is quite exciting. Tim Miller from Deadpool could be good. Produced and co-written by James Cameron. I don't know. I mean, he said Genesis was good, though, so maybe take it with a pinch of salt.
We'll come to that.
Indeed. Well, first off, we should probably talk about the awards that it won and didn't win.
Oh, did it? Was it nominated for things?
It was nominated for 6 Oscars and it won 4.
That's not bad.
Sound, editing, makeup, visual effects, and sound. Sound editing and sound, two different things.
Okay, is this the quiz? I have to work out which ones it won.
No, it was nominated for film editing and cinematography, but it didn't win. But yes, it won 4. I mean, that's reasonable. Sound editing, sound, makeup, visual effects, it seems reasonable.
Yeah.
I personally would have given Arnie Best Supporting Actor, but that's fine. I don't know. It'll be someone really amazing now. It's 1991. That's not the year that bloody Dances with Wolves beat out Goodfellas for everything, is it?
I don't remember. We'll look it up.
It won two BAFTAs for Best Sound and Visual Effects. and in like a million like Saturn Awards and Hugo Awards and MTV Best Movie Fight and Best Couple and Best of blah blah blah, all that kind of stuff. So essentially, it was an insane revelation. It showed you like massive pop culture hit, it's massively influenced culture. I mean, hasta la vista, baby, I'll be back, all that kind of stuff. I mean, when I was writing up my notes, auto spelling correct on Word corrected Schwarzenegger for me. How many movie actors are there that has that? His name is programmed into the dictionary of Word. It's madness.
Well, he is also the governor of the state that makes the iPhone.
He was after the, well, yeah, so, I suppose. They're probably trying to get in with him. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. A huge amount of toys, games, Terminator versus Robocop. That game, be a game that I love so much. You know, and for,
I can say,
for,
I never played any of them.
It's an R-rated movie. It's an R-rated movie that had, so you know, like that teaser trailer I was saying about, where the flesh being injected into the mold. They made that toy. You put a robot in and you injected like pink plasticine goo, and it came out looking like, not looking like Arnie, basically. But think about all the T2 stuff, you know, massive. Like 1992, tied in with Guns N' Roses, so Guns N' Roses.
I'm going to briefly interject because our producer, Seymour Butts,
right,
has done.
Well, the porn producer from the 90s. How the mighty have fallen.
I mean, we're lucky to have him.
I don't know. He has got his.
But he has managed to dig out his Encyclopedia Britannica of movies.
And
you may want to eat your words here, because the winner of Best Supporting in 91, Joe Pesci for Goodfellas.
Okay, then that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's very fair.
Anyway, sorry. Where were we?
So, no, that was fine. I'm just saying about all the toys and that kind of stuff. And for an R-rated film that children weren't ever meant to watch, it didn't have a big impact. Like, you know, it was massive for years, Revolutionized home video, revolutionized DVD, all, you know, like branching. So you know the branching on the DVDs?
Yes.
You've got it's a branching, they call it branching. I just keep saying branching. So it's the film with all the scenes, and then depending on what option you choose, it skips between this tree of different scenes and builds the special edition. But it means that you don't have to have three versions of a full film saved on a disc.
Yep.
That was invented by James Cameron for the T2 special edition DVD. Because of course it was.
So this effectively, he invented Bandersnatch.
Yeah. We're talking about the man who spends most of his time on like the deepest part of the ocean in a submarine that he designed. The man is a genius. Yeah, anyway, I love James Cameron, as you might have guessed. It's a travesty that True Lies has never come out.
Toys notwithstanding, legacy-wise, they made some more movies.
Yeah, so they made T2, T3.
T3
Rising of the Machines.
Is T3 the blonde?
Yes, that's with the TX or the Terminatrix. That's directed by Jonathan Mostow. I really like that movie.
It's not bad.
It's fine, it's silly,
it's
but
no
it's
T2,
fun.
But it's not bad.
And Nick. Man, that man.
Nolte?
No, yes, Nick Nolte, as he has a 20-year-old John Connor.
Oh, right, okay. Yes, that guy.
Yeah, so, yeah, so Nick Stans, sorry. So they, that's the T-800 gets sent back by his wife after having killed
We don't John need Connor. To do a plot summary on each of the legacy.
Okay, fair enough.
We're going to be here all day.
There's T-4, which is Terminator Genesis.
Is it?
Which is bad.
No, it's not. It's not. There's one in between T3 and Genesis.
Oh, there's Terminator Salvation.
That's
I wonder why I blocked that out of my mind. That's the famous.
That's
the famous Christian Bale shouting at the guy walking across his eyeline, which is a justified thing to be pissed off about. Perhaps his reaction. Was
no, bear in mind, I haven't actually watched the entire Legacy set because I'm not you. Which one actually did they introduce the Arnie v Arnie? Is that Genesis?
Yes, yeah. No, that's at the end. Oh no, Arnie v Arnie is Genesis. Yeah. Although there is a body double that's got Arnie's face mapped onto him because it's the creation of the T-800 in Terminator Salvation. So right at the end, there's a big, very CGI Arnie running around at the end. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's directed by Mook G. The man calls himself Mook G. I know you don't mind the Charlie's Angels movies, but he's a bad director and a bad person.
To be fair, I don't watch the Charlie's Angels movies for the artistic direction and cinematography.
No, you watch for Crispin Glover.
Of course,
he's so
you watch
amazing.
It for Crispin Glover.
So, God, I spend too much time watching films, don't I? Anyway, then there's Terminator Genesis, which came out, 2 years ago? Directed by Alan Parker, who directed a load of Game of Thrones and Thor Dark World, which is arguably the second best Thor film, given that there are three. That's not true. Thor 1 is definitely the second best one. It's, yeah.
So it's the worst. The worst Thor film.
It's the worst Thor film, yep.
It's also
and yeah, Terminator Genesis is some bullshit. So they try and do like a thing. They try and do like a J.J. Abrams Star Trek, where it's like the beginning takes place in the same timeline, and then something happens halfway through the film that like is now a branching timeline, so it doesn't invalidate the previous films, but now they get to do whatever they want, except they didn't because it was shit, so they're never making another one. Suck a bag of dicks, Alan Parker. Sorry, that film makes me really angry.
There was a TV show. Oh, come on.
Sorry.
So there was a TV show that was actually half decent.
It was pretty good. That was pretty good. I think... So the end of the second series, so we're going to jump forward in time to after Judgment Day.
What, just everybody's dead?
That was
dead,
the cliffhanger.
Dave.
They were going to like join the war or something in the future. It's Summer Glau from Firefly as the Lady Terminator. Amazing. Oh, we're not amazing. Fine.
Solid,
I watched it. It was fine.
Watchable telly.
I also watched Magnum P.I., the remake of Magnum P.I., which is amazing.
Yeah, I'm still working my way through the originals.
We're doing recommendations. I recommend the new Magnum P.I.
And its relationship to Terminator
nothing
is...
Nothing to do with Terminator 2. You should just watch it. It's fun. So lots of sequels. Now, they're currently making Dark Fate, which I just mentioned. Tim Miller's directing, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, the initial screening of some footage has been well received because it's just lots of explosions and firefights, which we know Tim Miller can do. But I think the problem is with all of these films is that people forget that Terminator isn't just about action. Terminator is about a boy longing for a father, a mother not knowing whether she can be a mother any longer, and a robot learning how to smile. Oh, this would have been a good way to end the podcast.
That's right, we can cut it back in later, won't we?
And I don't think they've got any of the heart of T2, which is really saying something because it's a James Cameron film, his most cynical, dark-hearted bastard in the world. But, yeah.
I think it was accidental that it comes through with as much heart and feeling as it has.
Okay, sure. No,
there are some, tiny question marks. I mean, the guy basically listens to his step-parents get murdered over the telephone. Doesn't seem to bother him at all.
No, he's just like, oh, man, they're dead, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know that lady who plays, her name's Jeanette something. I can't remember her surname now. The lady that plays the stepmother, Jeanette Goldstein, she plays, Alvarez. Is it Alvarez in Aliens? The Mexican lady who's, like, super ripped.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's the same woman. She's not Puerto Rican or Mexican or anything. She's like a Jewish lady from Los Angeles. And for some reason, James Cameron keeps casting her as like dark-skinned Puerto Ricans. It's very strange. But yeah, that's the same lady.
Nice.
Yeah, same lady. Yeah. And obviously Xander Berkeley playing a stepdad who gets stabbed through the throat. But we're not doing production anymore.
Well, no, but
we're doing recommendations. I would say watch RoboCop.
Okay. Because now we can basically block out the recommendations into three main sections.
All Schwarzenegger, all James Cameron, and everything else.
I was going to say...
Oh.
All 90s style action movies of a certain bent, because it has a very similar feel to Die Hard.
And a similar feel to Lethal Weapon movies.
Yeah, they were making movies of a time.
Darker edged, very violent.
I'm not going to recommend all James Cameron, because frankly, if you like Terminator 2,
are you
really going to like Titanic?
No, that's true. Well, if you like Terminator 2 because you like the scope of the technological change that was involved in making the film, then yeah, watch Titanic.
No,
if you like
the film.
If you like the film, yeah,
if you like
Titanic.
The story.
Well, I love Terminator 2. I don't like Titanic, so that's fair.
Yeah.
Watch The Abyss.
Yeah, if you must.
I think that's massively underrated. Watch True Lies, because that's just legit.
Yep.
That is a travesty.
And that takes two boxes.
That is so, so good. It'll make you think Jamie Lee Curtis is hot. And you should probably watch Avatar.
Mm.
But just don't watch like the 4.5 hour long version, because it's 4.5 hours long. I was watching it thinking, man, I wish I was watching The Lord of the Rings. It's very, very long-winded. But I don't mind Avatar. I mean, going to see Avatar in the cinema for the first time, being someone that's so into a cinema, like, I didn't know... I was, like, properly speechless for, like, 2 hours afterwards. Watched it in 3D and was just like... I'd never seen anything 3D before and was like, fuck. Like, I didn't even really understand what I'd seen. It was just... It is amazing. But then you watch it on Blu-ray and it's 4.5 hours long and it's just Pocahontas with blue people and I'm pretty sure he fucks a horse. And it's just it's weird. Super weird. Although, don't you think, the thing that always interests me about that is, and I will let you speak eventually, is Zoe Saldana is just in everything. She's in the Marvel Universe, she's in Avatar, she's in Star Trek. If she gets a role in Star Wars, she'll have them all nailed down.
Show up as a cameo.
Yeah, she'll get them all nailed
down. It's not actually her, they just CGI'd her in.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's not really in Avatar either, I suppose, is she? She's a big blue lady. So, yeah. All Schwarzenegger. Just watch all of Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Especially early stuff. Maybe skip Last Action Hero.
Oh, again, I think that's underrated.
All right.
But yeah, no, that's fair. Well, you'd skip Last Action, but you'd watch The Sixth Day, where it's about cloning and it's got Michael Rapaport in it.
Yeah, okay, maybe skip that as well. Maybe cherry pick.
What about End of Days, where he fights the devil? Watch that one. Yeah, it's well good. No, it's well good. It's well good.
If you like the...
honestly don't think there's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I don't like. Kid and Garden Cop, I can deal with that.
Seriously?
Yeah, I could get on board with that. It's like a fish out of water.
Watch Alien, watch Aliens, obviously. Yes, but yes. Specifically watch Alien.
Yeah, Aliens.
No, Alien.
The one that James Cameron didn't make?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Because it has evil robots and artificial intelligences that go mad.
Sure, and the robots are on the good side. I like that story about how he got the job for Aliens. He wrote Alien on a board and then wrote NS and then turned the S into dollar signs and just sat back down.
Yeah, that's the second time you made that reference in this podcast.
I know, yes, because we did Aliens. It was just a good story.
Actually, it wasn't in the Alien.
Oh, was it not?
And we did Alien, dude. Not Aliens.
No, I thought we did Aliens and I'd watched Alien.
No, the other way around.
Okay, if you say so. It was 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago and I drink heavily during this.
A lot of beer under the bridge since then.
Yeah. I don't know what else, really. What else from the 90s? I mean, they're just, like you say, all those action movies from the 90s, definitely get involved.
Oh, pretty much anything.
I'm being shown a phone with the name of a film on. No. I actually like that movie.
I was shown the same phone. I didn't even raise it.
He shoots them crocodiles. We're not going to say the name of the film, but he shoots them crocodiles, and it's like a mag. It's meant to be like a mag train gun, a rail gun, right? That can fire, he shoots them giant crocodiles. I'm not saying the name of the film, though. The person that wrote that, also the person that wrote Terminator 2. So, didn't write it with James Cameron, though, so, So that's it for me, for recommendations and legacy.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but it's so broad, it's touched so much stuff that if you like, amazing CGI, if you like inexorable chases, what's the one with the truck? It's Spielberg's first?
Jewel. Sure.
You know, if you like inexorability in films, just go
super tension, yeah, absolutely. Hell, I'd even say, if you want to watch, like Mad Max Fury Road and stuff.
I was going to say Mad Max, to be honest, anything with... Watch The Matrix?
Yes.
I guess?
Yeah, sure, Matrix. Watch the first one.
Yeah, they only made one, right? We've been over this.
I would say that. Definitely watch The Matrix.
Yeah, so basically, watch any good movie.
That is the far-reachingness of Terminator 2, because that is true. We have a quiz. This may or may not be a recurring segment. We'll see how it goes.
All right. I'm amazed, because normally previous quizzes I have set for you.
Yes.
I've not been on the receiving end of a quiz since the Christmas special.
Not of a quiz, certainly.
This is your segment. How can you make this dirty?
Because it's my segment. My segment's always dirty.
Anyway, CGI your segment out.
Grandma's chicken salad. So, what we're going to do is, I'm going to give you 10 action movie one-liners.
Okay.
And you've got to tell me which are Arnold Schwarzenegger and which aren't.
Okay.
Out of 10. Now, I'm not going to award you points, but you do get no points if you know what film it's from as well. The twist is, I'm going to do all of them as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
So this is either going to be hilarious or extremely gratingly irritating.
Just clarify. Ten film quotes.
10 film quotes.
And I basically have to tell you, the quote from an Arnie film, said by Arnie, presumably.
Yes, said by Arnie, yeah.
But you're doing them all as Arnie.
Yeah.
Because your Arnie is traditionally able to last for more than, say, 3 quotes.
We're doing 10.
Right. This is going to be interesting.
Literally just to amuse me. Right, here we go.
We don't have a new jingle for this one, but if it sticks around, we might have to make one.
Yeah, answer the question. Let us know on social media if you like
Mike's
this segment.
Mike's embarrassing quizzes.
Yeah, and like I said to you before, as we off mic, I didn't realise, I forgot to take into consideration how many people there'd be in this beer garden when I decided to start loudly doing bad impressions for 5 minutes.
Right, first one. I'm ready.
You're not putting me in the cooler.
Yes, that is Arnie, because that's from Batman. Batman and Robin?
Yes, correct. Ooh. It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor.
That could be Arnie, but I've got no idea where from. So I'm going to go with it is.
It is,
but I don't know where
and it's from Kindergarten Cop.
Okay,
he says I have a headache, and when a little kid says, maybe it's a brain tumor.
Right, so I'm 2 for 2, right?
You
about
are two
50%.
For two. You're 2 for 2. Hey, terrorist, terrorize this.
That's not Arnie.
Where is it from?
Can't remember.
It's from Team America. 3 for 3.
The Arnie accent is surprisingly off-putting in terms of context. So I know it's not something he ever said, but...
I'm going to take you to the bank. The blood bank. That one is particularly bad.
It's not Jamaican Arnie. But I don't know where it's from.
It's Steven Seagal from Hard to Kill. See you at the party, Richter!
That's definitely Arnie and Total Recall.
Running Man.
Running Man?
Yes. Oh, no, it is Total Recall. You're quite right. Sorry.
Do I get an extra point for knowing that and then having to correct has it written down in front of you? So I've now got 10 points.
To crush your enemies, to see them driven before you, and Arnie, to hear Conan the lamentation of their women. Okay. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
No, I want you to take a beat. I want you to work on the accent, the enunciation. Because I'm not sure.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
That is not Arnie.
It's not Arnie, but where's it from?
It's Bruce Willis from all of the Die Hards.
Lucky you said all of them, otherwise I would have said you didn't. Put the cookie down!
That could be Arnie from, like, Twins or something.
Is that your answer?
I'm going to say it is Arnie, but not
it's
Twins.
It's Arnie and it's from Jingle All the Way.
Oh, God.
Which is another movie that I still love. And the last... Oh, no, last two. You are disease and I'm the cure.
It's not Arnie. No, it's not.
It's not Arnie. It's Sylvester Stallone from Cobra. And the final one. Always bet on black.
It's definitely not Arnie.
It's Wesley Snipes from Passenger 57. Yes.
So, just to be clear, did I get any of those wrong?
50%. 50%. Perfect. So good. So well done.
I make that a clean sweep with a bonus point and a couple of additional bonus points for knowing the films.
I'll say 11 out of 10 because you corrected me on that one.
Excuse me?
Well, we agreed not.
I got at least two of the movies.
No, I'm
saying... So that's at least 14 out of 10.
Okay. That's fine.
Wait, what?
Maybe we'll like keep a running tally for the season and see how well you do by the end of the
year. You're damn right we will, and I want a medal.
Do you?
Participation only.
Sure, yeah. So that wasn't as challenging as I hoped it was, but I hope it made a few people giggle. So it's a regular segment.
Well, I think we kind of success. Had to keep this one.
We did.
We couldn't let it go.
Be the reason we keep doing this, because I like it so much. It's one-star reviews.
It's Amazon one-star reviews.
So this was incredibly difficult to find one-star reviews for, because it's fucking Terminator 2, isn't it? So obviously there are an absolute shitload about how bad the Blu-ray is, the DVD, blah, 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 blah.
The 4K rip apparently is terrible, because it's only the theatrical release, and it's really dark.
Yeah, somebody really intelligent who knows what they're talking about said that to you early, didn't they? I honestly cannot tell you how disappointed I was. The 4K, it's really, really well mastered, but for some reason the brightness is so low that even the daytime shots look like day for night. It's weird. It's weird. Anyway, one-star reviews. The first one is by Humph. That's Humph with an F. I always hump with an F, baby. From March 2018. Best forgotten. Frankly, I was disappointed. It was complete rubbish.
Was he watching the right movie?
It's terrible. It's terrible. So he's an idiot, and that's the only review he's put on Amazon. So he's gone out of his way just to slag off T2.
Hang on, for all you know, the guy died directly after pressing send.
I think he deserved to if he didn't like Terminator 2.
That's harsh.
I hope he was murdered by his own children. Then it's Lord Anon from March 2013.
So not just Anonymous, but he is the Lord of the Anonymous.
Yeah. I think he's more of an edge lord myself, but anyway, not an edging lord. He doesn't just like to play with the tip of his penis until he ejaculates. He's the lord of edge. The thing that won't die. Is that a bit revealing? Anyway, the thing that won't die in the nightmare that won't end. All of his reviews are like this. He's a dickhead.
That sounds fairly good so far.
It sounds like a good tagline for the film. A tagline for the film, yeah. This film is way overrated. The special effects are not great, but it doesn't matter as it was 1984. He's reviewing Terminator 1. And special effects are worthless when it comes to good films. Sorry, special effects are worthless when it comes to true films.
Oh,
he's a pretentious wanker who can't even review the right film. Too much violence and running around set along with an original plot, which is slightly blown away by some of the explosions. I feel that Lord Anon might think he's smarter than he is, given his fuck up by reviewing the wrong film on the wrong thing. Five stars for Notting Hill, though, and all of the series of men behaving badly. So fuck off.
Well, Notting Hill is a true film.
It is,
and there are no explosions.
It's true, and there's no special effects, unless you count like massively softening Julia Roberts'
craggy visage.
Craggy visage. So last two, because there really aren't many. Julie Dilworth from February 2013. Don't watch this. It's tame and doesn't show any good acting. Story bad and gets stupid. 1/10. Painful to watch. So this Julie Dilworth person, if that is their real name.
Okay, firstly, I'm going to say, Julie, that was painful to read.
Yeah, it's bad.
Here.
She reviews every single Jackie Chan movie, Tony Jaa movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, like in sequence. So she's like, it seems like they're going through every single action movie from the 90s and 80s, and she just gives them all one star, and it's the same review. It's the same review. Apart from the second review that she's left for Terminator 2 in February 2013, same time, boring 80s film. I think she went to review Terminator 1 and fucked up. Stupid film about a robot out to kill a bloke. It's cheesy and gets boring. And if you hate Schwarzenegger, then don't. But it's a disappointment. Yeah, if you don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger, don't watch a fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Julie Dilworth, you dumb.
Dilworth.
You Dilworth. Oh, that's a new running joke for this season. What a fucking Dilworth. No, that definitely counts as cyberbullying. Let's not do that.
Like I'm doxing the woman.
We
I'm pretty sure she's
name.
A bot, by the way.
No, indeed. All of the reviews, apart from those two, are different. Are the same. All of them are the same. So those people didn't like... Sorry about that.
Fine.
This is fine. It's just an audio podcast. Those people didn't like this film. What do we think?
Well, we've got to work out again. What do we rate this out of?
Five thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Five thumbs up.
Anybody who hasn't watched Terminator 2...
Five thumbs up and me just bursting into tears. That's not true. I start crying when he says, now I know why you cry. That's
I'm going to go first this time because, yeah, it's a solid 4.5.
Sure.
4.75.
Oh, okay.
4.8, final offer.
I don't know that we're negotiating. I think that's a reasonable score.
No, I'd say, yeah, it's a solid 4.5, 4.75, depending on my mood and depending on which version I'm watching.
Sure.
The extended cut is a must watch.
Yes.
The theatrical cut is a good film. That's a solid 4.5. Uh-huh. The extended cut, solid 4.75. The extended cut with the special ending drops back to 4.7.
Yes.
For the ill-advised age makeup. It's brilliant. You can watch
just
it.
Terminator 2, isn't it?
And watch just, it. Yeah. And watch it.
Yeah. I would say exactly the same. 4.8. Maybe even 5 some days, depending on what mood I'm in. It never bores me. It never gets old. I am not going to be watching in 27 years' time Avengers Infinity War.
Well, you might.
It's really good, but it's not Terminator 2, though, is it?
No.
Terminator 2 stood the test of time, and not because... I mean, the special effects do look dated. The puppetry does look dated and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter.
No.
Because he blows that wall open, turns around and says, trust me, and then kneecaps all those cops and fires all the tear gas into the thing, and then he drives the truck.
The minigun. And then the scan, zero human casualties.
The minigun fires 400 rounds a minute, and they had to slow it down to 200, so that because otherwise it just looks like a bright burst of light.
Yeah.
So they slowed it down to 200 so that it looks like it's going... Chugga.
I also like the fact that just in case you weren't aware that he's about to do something incredibly badass, the guy in the helicopter, that's a goddamn minigun!
Yeah.
And then flies away.
Amazing.
And then flies back.
It's very him.
Which seems a little ill-advised as a helicopter pilot.
I mean, that gun is definitely him. Yeah. So, yeah. Basically, go and watch Terminator 2 if you haven't. Maybe we should say at the beginning. We've bought it for you.
It's kind of a given. And that concludes the first of the new season of We're Drunk and We Know Things.
Ooh. What have we got next time, Rob?
I've no idea.
No, we haven't decided because we're decided now and we can do whatever we want.
Well, we've got a little short list.
We have got a little list.
You've got a little short list.
Hey-o!
Yeah. We will be back in 2 weeks' time.
And what are we talking about?
Well, we're going to lift the curtain.
Oh.
And have a think about some of the ethical and technological questions raised by the unseen villain at the heart of Terminator 2.
Racism.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sorry, yeah. Artificial
which
intelligence,
also
yeah.
contains quite a lot of racism.
Okay, right.
So, please tune in a fortnight's time.
Yep. Let's talk about Skynet.
Until then.
Okay, listen to me. I'm gonna ask you one time nicely. I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycle. I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycle.
Oof. I'm all bilious. Are we recording?
We are.
Oh, God. So, yes. It's the first so yes of this new season.
No? You have to go again.
Okay. So, as I say, it was made in 91. It cost $102 million to make. Are we recording?
Yeah, but fuck's sake, dude.
Oh, right, my bad. Yes. Then they made Terminator Genesis. Then they made Sarah Connor Chronicles. No, they made Sarah Chronicles before that. And then they made the best Game Gear game of all time, Terminator vs. Robocop. That's not true, that came out in like the mid-90s.
I was going to say, I think that was pretty much off the back of Terminator 2.
So it's not so much my head as it is my heft that needs to be a bit in the shade.
So.
It's not going to work. It's definitely not going to work. This will be better. Fine. No, that's fine. I can do that. Oh, yeah.
Sit in the poop.
Legacy.